He pulled the leather flap shut behind him and then sat down on his unmade bed and thought hard. There was no doubt in his mind that Gawain had meant every word he'd said. If he tried to back out now, the knight would kill him. On the other hand, there was obviously a great deal about this conspiracy he wasn't being told. For example, what the hell had Victor done to get himself sent into internal exile? Jordan took the handkerchief away from his throat and looked sourly at the blood-stained cloth. Maybe he could sneak up on the knight while he was sleeping. But there was still the 10,000 ducats to consider. As long as there was a chance of getting his hands on that money, he wasn't sure he wanted to back out. He put the handkerchief back in his pocket and looked around the crowded interior of his caravan. The rough wooden walls weren't even varnished, let alone painted, and the floor had disappeared under a confused mess of props and costumes. When he'd been at the top of his career, he'd had dressing rooms that were bigger than this. He looked at the package Roderick had left for him on his bunk and frowned. He'd go along with the others for now. It wasn't as if he had a choice. The clothes turned out to be elegant, richly colored, and a perfect fit. Well tailored, too. Presumably, they'd been made especially for the prince he now resembled. Jordan fumbled a little at the unfamiliar hooks and fastenings and stopped every now and again just to admire a particularly fine piece of attire, but finally, he was ready. He strutted back and forth in the narrow space, sweeping his cloak around him, and wished he had a full-length mirror. He wore his own shirt underneath the long waistcoat, even though he had to leave half the buttons undone. He needed the hidden pockets sewn into its sleeves to carry the flare pellets and smoke bombs he used to counterfeit his magic. He stuffed the pockets as full as he could. He didn't know how long it would be before he'd have a chance to make any more. He strapped his own sword on his hip. Roderick had provided a blade of far superior quality and workmanship, but Jordan preferred to stick with the sword he was used to. And just to be on the safe side, he slipped a throwing knife into the top of his knee-length boot. He'd always been good with a throwing knife. Better safe than sorry, as his dad always said. That left only one item to put on, and Jordan stared at it for a long moment. The chainmail vest stared blankly back at him. Given the circumstances, the vest was a sensible precaution, but he was still reluctant to put it on, as though by acknowledging the danger, he somehow made it real. He shook his head, took off the cloak, and put on the chainmail vest. It was lighter than it looked, but he could still feel its solid weight tugging at him every time he moved. He pulled on the heavy burgundy cloak again, hiding the vest from sight. But it didn't help. Jordan looked around his caravan one last time, as if saying goodbye to a dear friend. Sir Gawain was still waiting for him. Jordan stood haughtily before him and took up his best aristocratic stance. Gawain bowed formally to him.
If you're quite ready, Your Highness, we should rejoin the others.
I trust we won't be traveling far tonight, Gawain. It's going to be bitter cold tonight.
I think the sooner we leave Bannerwick behind us, the better, sire. We aren't the only ones who have agents out in the kingdom.
Jordan nodded reluctantly. He turned to his horse and found Gawain had her already saddled and waiting. He swung up onto Smokey's back without saying anything. Gawain reached up and took hold of the bridle and led horse and rider back down the deserted main street to where the others were waiting. Their horses were fine thoroughbreds, beside which Smokey in her battered trappings looked very much the poor relation.
Ah, you look very well, Prince Victor. Let us be off.
The small party left Bannerwick behind them and headed out into the falling dusk. The evening was still and silent as they made their way out onto the moor. The sun was sinking below the horizon in a mass of blood-stained clouds. Sir Gawain lit a lantern and hung it from his saddle horn so that the small party moved in its own pool of amber light. A cold wind gusted across the open moorland, ruffling the tall heather with a heavy hand. It rose and fell like the slow swell of a purple sea. The thick, smoky scent of the heather made a pleasant contrast to the open sewered stench of the mill town, and Jordan began to relax a little. He'd always liked traveling by night, and the lonely moors held no horrors for him. Bandits and wolves tended to prefer the forests, and he was too old to believe in ghosts. Besides, away from the stage, he liked his solitude. It gave him time to think, to be himself, rather than one of the many masks he wore for other people, on and off stage. The moors had their own stark beauty, for those with eyes to see it. And yet, for once, their open grandeur had no power to soothe his soul. It was all very well playing brave warriors and noble heroes on the stage, but he was well aware that out in the real world, he had none of the qualities necessary to bring off such a role. He was an actor, not a fighter, and he was perfectly happy to leave it that way. In his experience, heroes tended to lead short and very dangerous lives, and usually come to a nasty end. Standing up to be counted just made you an easier target to hit. And yet here he was, heading into an arena more perilous than any battlefield, a court torn by intrigue. Jordan decided he wasn't going to think about it anymore for the time being. It just made his stomach ache. He glanced surreptitiously at Sir Gawain, riding close beside him. He wasn't sure whether the knight's presence made him feel more secure or more threatened.
Roderick, tell me about Prince Victor. Just an outline to begin with, to give me a feel for the part. And I'll need to know about his brothers as well.
Of course. You are the middle of three sons. Prince Louis is the eldest. He inherited earth magic by his blood. There isn't much call for earth magic inside a castle, so he spent most of his life training to be a warrior. He favors the sword and is very good with it. In many ways, he was King Malcolm's favorite, but of late he and your father had grown distant. He has a vile temper and won't be crossed on anything. His private life is a scandal. In his position, he could have practically any woman for the asking, but instead he prefers to intimidate and take by force young ladies from the lesser nobility. Many who dare complain are dismissed from court, and their families are disgraced.